The home cooking was tasting great last night. The Brewers finally return home. They make it four consecutive wins. They take game one of a huge four-game series over these Cardinals. A lot to unpack, but a reminder, Corbin Burnes is the best pitcher in baseball. Controversial? I know. Let's jump into the numbers. You're Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 21st. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew. All season long, we post episodes Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, free and available, as well on YouTube, the video version of all of these. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. The Brewers win 2-0 last night. And if you were following along on Twitter, it was a good day to be on Brewers Twitter. There have been some dark days. If you don't follow us already, go ahead and follow at Locked On Brewers. That's simple. I'm at Dom_Catronio. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, bringing you all the news and nuggets you want to know about these Brewers. So, I made a bold take, not really that bold, saying that Corbin Burnes is the best pitcher in baseball. And the common thread that I saw was, well, what about Sandy Alcantara? What about Joe Musgrove? Right now, in my opinion, it's a three-horse race between those guys. Corbin Burnes has reasserted himself into this, Cy Young, way too early to talk about Cy Young poll, if you will, of the way things are. Think of it as like college football rankings. No one really cares about college football rankings in October. Talk to me in late November. Talk to me in December when it really does matter. But if you want to look at it right now, in the National League, Sandy Alcantara does lead the way for WAR for pitchers. He's right there in strikeouts. Aaron Nola is on there as well. Max Fried had a great start yesterday, too. Burnes, in fact, isn't even in the top 10 for all pitchers in baseball. Joe Musgrove's had an incredible year. Look, I don't think Burnes is the front runner when it comes to Cy Young right now, but Burnes' meaning to the Brewers has been especially important this season. Losing Woodruff for the last month or so, not having Peralta until August at the earliest, probably. What Burnes is able to do right now, shaking off those two bad starts earlier this month, to go up against the Cardinals, who have been playing very well, just dropped 2 out of 3 in Boston, we know, but a team that doesn't strike out, and a team that you just shut out over the span of 7 innings the last time you saw them in late May, and a team that you struck out 11 times against last time. How do you respond to that? How do you make sure you can do better? And the difference, too, of that last start in late May, he got run support. Brewers got the bats early and often against the Cardinals, and ironically enough, also against Miles Michaelis. In this one, it was a true pitcher's duel. Hat tip as well to Miles Michaelis. He's had an incredible year. He has really learned how to pitch in the big leagues, and he has developed into a very fun success story. Remember, of course, he left Major League Baseball for a couple of years ago over to Japan to pitch there for a couple of seasons, and now he is back from Yomiuri, and has spent the last, since 2018, with the Cardinals, and he is now 5-5 with an ERA still sub-3 this year. So he's been very, very good, a tough hit, for the Brewers. But Burnes, man, I mean, he goes 7 shutout innings. He allows 2 hits, both to Juan Yepes, another hat tip to him, a pair of walks, no runs, obviously, and 10 more strikeouts. It's his 17th career double-digit strikeout game. Pretty darn good. It's his 5th double-digit strikeout game this season. His 2nd consecutive against the Cardinals. By the way, 5 double-digit strikeout games this year. That's the most in baseball. I mean, this dude is unreal. He follows up 11 strikeouts in 7 shutout innings, you know, a couple of weeks ago against the Cardinals with 7 shutout innings with 10 more strikeouts against the Cardinals. It's incredible what he is doing and the meaning that it is for the Brewers right now. You look at it this season, and even the last 7 starts for Corbin Burnes against the Cardinals, going back to last season. Despite only having a 3-1 record in his last seven starts, he's got a 1.00 ERA. That's in 36 innings. He's allowed four earned runs in 36 innings in his last seven starts against the Cardinals. That's exactly what you want from your ace facing your divisional rival. Also, he's got 49 strikeouts in those 36 innings. In case you were wondering what 49 strikeouts in 36 innings for strikeouts per nine, that's 12.25. He's striking out better than 12 batters per nine against the Cardinals since the start of last season. Again, the guy against the team you're going to face the most as the ace of the Brewers, a divisional opponent, doing his job against the Cardinals. He now has 110 strikeouts. That is the most in the National League. He's trailing Shane McClanahan of the Rays by three now of the American League for the overall lead. He has 10 quality starts, which is third most in the NL, only trailing the aforementioned Joe Musgrove and Sandy Alcantara in the National League. This could be a very fun study of what things are going to look like in the second half if Burns continues on this pace that he's currently on. It's not sustainable, obviously, but quality starts, six quality innings, you're not going to get double-digit strikeouts every time, and Alcantara is not going to be sustainable what he's got going on. He is on one heck of a hot streak as things go right now for the Marlins. And I think voters are starting to realize, too, winning team for pitchers doesn't matter as much as it used to. I think Felix Hernandez kind of broke that ceiling a few years ago when he won his Cy Young Award. So Alcantara, even though he's on a losing team, I mean, look at his month of June. He's going to be the pitcher of the month in June. This month, he's thrown 31 innings. He's got 27 strikeouts. He's only allowed four earned runs, an ERA of 1.14. Opponents hitting 186 off of him. He's been incredible. And you look over his last seven starts, he's worked into the eighth inning now in five of them. It's incredible what Sandy Alcantara is doing. The Brewers are very lucky they missed him down in Miami last month. I just wanted to get on my little soapbox and say, look, Corbin Burns, it's impressive what he did last year, obviously, to be a Cy Young Award winner. Critics would say he didn't throw enough innings. Well, he did miss 2 weeks because of COVID. It's a weird year last year as far as disjointedness, and they wanted to make sure his arm was healthy. He still threw 167 innings. 167 innings last season was more than his previous three seasons combined in the big leagues. That's not including the minors. He had thrown 146 innings between 18, 19, and 20 in the big leagues, and then he follows that up with 167 innings last year, and now he's already thrown a total of 85 innings this year. So he could certainly get close to that 200-inning mark as things progress forward for Corbin Burns. He gets the win. He improves to 5-4 on the season now. I mean, he's Cy Burns. He's the best pitcher in baseball. The cutter was incredible. He had 20 more swings and misses in yesterday's game, 12 of them on the cutter. Burns now has 14 games in the last 2 years with at least 20 swings and misses. That is the most in baseball by far. Max Scherzer is next. He's got 8. It's incredible, Corbin Burns. I keep saying the same words. It's like that Lady Gaga meme where she's like, incredible, massive, and super important, amazing, beautiful. I mean, just on and on and on with the amazing adjectives. Corbin Burns. Oh, wow. Isn't it fun when you go Corbin Burns to Devin Williams to Josh Hader? Just evil maniacal laugh there for Brewers fans. Burns, Williams, Hader. 12 strikeouts total in this game against a team that's one of the hardest to strike out in the big leagues. You held Paul Goldschmidt to an 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. In fact, the top 5 in the order yesterday, they were a combined 1-for-19. And the 1 was the infield hit by Brendan Donovan in the 9th inning against Josh Hader. In total, they struck out 8 times of those 15 at-bats. Wow. Devin Williams, 16th straight scoreless appearance for him. An inning with 1 strikeout. Josh Hader, 1 inning, 1 hit, infield hit. They get the caught ceiling rather out on the advance at second. And a strikeout as well. Hader gets his 20th save of the year. That's tied for the National League lead. Wow. Bullpen was great again, too. They have now gone 28 and a third consecutive without allowing an earned run. I want to clarify that, an earned run. Brent Suter allowed an unearned run in New York. That it's still pretty darn good what's going on right now, what's in the water in the pitching staff for the Brew Crew. However, they're going to face a little adversity here today. Got a new face making the start. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. I want to remind you about our presenting sponsor, Rock Auto. Look, there are so many makes and models these days. It's really impossible for your local auto chain parts store to find all the parts that your car could ever need. I mean, let alone stock them as well. You can endure pointless questioning on what model you have, what color it is, if it's a difference between, what's the difference between racer red and light red? I mean, just give me the part and let me see the entire selection. If you're going to order it off a warehouse, why don't I just go to rockauto.com? I've used Rock Auto myself. Super easy. You're going to save a ton of cash. You can pay the 30%, the 50%, the 100% markup at a chain dealer, or you can serve with Rock Auto, who've been helping helping do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. There's no membership fee or anything like that. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. You can go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And if you write Locked On in your How Did You Hear About Us box, that way they know that we sent you here at Locked On Brewers. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Chi-Chi Gonzalez making the start here today, spot start. We learned pregame yesterday that Aaron Ashby will be placed on the injured list with left elbow inflammation. He tried throwing yesterday and it did not work out. And right now, you know, we hear this constant quote like, "Oh, we don't think it's that serious." We didn't think it was that serious with Willie Adames. Didn't think it was that serious with Colton Wong. We didn't think it was that serious with Brandon Woodruff. Granted, the ankle turned into Raynaud's syndrome, so that's a little bit different. I don't know what to believe. All you can do is sit here and be optimistic that it's not super lengthy for Aaron Ashby to be out. The word is that it hurt on his slider, especially, which, you know, is his most important pitch. He needs to have the slider working. So for Aaron Ashby to be placed on the shelf, another starter goes on the IL. No Woodruff, no Peralta, no Ashby now. So Chi-Chi Gonzalez, who was claimed off waivers last week from the Minnesota Twins, is going to make the spot start, making his Brewers debut, pitching now for his fourth team in the big leagues. Chi-Chi, he's 30 years old. He's from Delray Beach, Florida. Was selected in the first round out of Oral Roberts down in Tulsa by the Texas Rangers back in 2013. Chi-Chi made his big league debut in 2015 with the Rangers. He appeared in 14 games. 10 of them were starts. A couple of years with the Rangers, then was dealing with injuries from 17, 18, and then made it back in the big leagues in 2019 with the Colorado Rockies. He has bounced around as a free agent. He has signed and re-signed with the Rockies a couple of different occasions and signed as a free agent this past spring training, at the end of spring training, with the Twins, and then was selected off waivers this past week by the Brew Crew. This year, he's only pitched in two games in the show, 7 innings, 12 hits, 6 runs, all earned, 2 homers, no walks, 4 strikeouts. The last time he played a full season was last year with the Rockies. He appeared in 24 games. 18 of them were starts. He threw 101 innings, a 6.46 ERA. But of course, we got to look at the splits because it is Colorado. Always tough to pitch there. When you look at his home splits, opponents hit 444. His ERA at home was 675. I'm looking at 2022. Step back one more time. Home and road splits from last year. Opponents hit 327 at home, 294 on the road last year for Colorado. His ERA at home, 6.45. His ERA on the road, 6.48. So not exactly injecting a lot of optimism into you here, but it's a spot start. See how long you'll need him. Ethan Small had just pitched yesterday here with the Nashville Sounds, so he wasn't going to be available to be called up, even though he's already on the 40-man. Chi-Chi's already on the 40-man. You're A-OK in that regard. So he will get the start. Trying to see what he can find with the Brew Crew here in his debut in the blue and gold for MKE. Are you looking for length out of him? Probably not. You're just looking to see whatever you can get. You've got a pretty rested bullpen aside, of course, using Williams, you're probably not going to use Williams in three straight games since he closed out the game on Sunday and he closed out yesterday. So you're probably not going to use Williams tomorrow. You saved Boxberger. You gave Hobie Milner a day off. So that's good news for those guys. The most pitches that Chi-Chi has thrown in the game this year is 68. That was on June 11th, his last appearance with the Twins at home in Tampa Bay. I mean, he got stretched out plenty last season. Let's see how healthy his arm feels. He got moved to a shorter role toward the end of last year. Walked a ton of guys at the end of the year, too. So see what works for him tomorrow. I would not expect length. Just need to get 4 or 5 innings. Hand it over maybe to Brent Suter if you've got the lead. And try to hang on for dear life and turn the rotation over to Eric Lauer coming up in tomorrow's contest, and then Jason Alexander getting the start on Thursday. That's a quick update on the pitching staff. It sounds like a lot of guys are going up to Wisconsin, up to the Timber Rattlers this week, up to Appleton. Mike Brosseau is about to start a rehab assignment. You're also going to see Brandon Woodruff make another rehab appearance there, as the guys were joking on Bally Sports Wisconsin yesterday. Big league spreads. In case you're wondering, if you've heard that term before and you're not familiar what it means, what's the spread? What's big league spread? Well, the spread is the food, the post-game dinner, what you're having after the game. And as an ex-minor leaguer, and any minor leaguer that's listening or has been in the show knows, you know, how it's like in the minor leagues. Like, look, it's not that the spreads are terrible. It's just that, you know, cold cuts or peanut butter jellies are the same, you know, community chicken, whatever you're going to get, isn't exactly the same as maybe some catered Capital Grill or some, like, Brandon Woodruff delivered some fried chicken and insomnia cookies in Memphis for the guys down in Tennessee. So that was cool. You'll see guys bring in steak and lobster, steak and mac and cheese. They go big league with it. And the whole point is the big leaguers take care of the minor leaguers because they know you went through the minor leagues yourself. Let's take care of the guys, have them have a highlight on the year, not have to eat a peanut butter jelly for the umpteenth time. Been there, done that, and have a cool memory with the big leaguers providing the post-game spread. The clubbies appreciate it. The players obviously appreciate it. And it's a fun memory for everybody involved. So the big league spread means the player that's there on rehab pays for the post-game dinner. So a little bit, in case you didn't know, that's what that is all about. Again, Brewers win 2-0. I'm going to dive into the box score here just briefly before we get ready to preview here the rest of the series and talk about some overarching numbers from this. Tyrone Taylor, it was great to see him get that monkey off of his back. That was his first homer since Game 2 of the doubleheader on Memorial Day against the Cubs. Since that epic road trip he had. He had been ice cold since really taking hold of center field from Lorenzo Cain. So huge swing for Tyrone. He also added, he had a couple of good at-bats, went 1-for-3, played good center field defense as well. He's a good spot there in the 9-hole. I really like that fit for him. The 2-run homer obviously was the difference off Michaelis. Other spots in the batting order. How about Keston Hira finally getting a start against a right-hander on the mound? He got hit by a pitch. He got a base hit in the right center, also scored a run. That was on the Tyrone home run. Got hit by a pitch, drew a walk, so he was on base on 3 separate occasions. Didn't really have anything tested to him at second base yesterday, but he was playing second. Otherwise, Willy Adames has a multi-hit day, including a double. Rowdy Tellez had a double down the right field line. Brewers didn't get him in, of course. Hunter Renfroe also had a double. He scalded a ball 110 miles an hour that was robbed by Bader in the first inning, so he continues to be white hot right now. Also drew a walk. And the Brewers, again, the pitching staff was just gnarly with 12 strikeouts, only 2 walks. And furthermore, the Brewers as an offense, in their 8 innings of offense, they only struck out 4 times. Now, Michaelis is a pitcher that pitches to contact. But that's very encouraging to see. 4 strikeouts as a team, 2 walks drawn. See if they can continue that moving forward here in the series. Let's look ahead to the rest of this. Look around the league here briefly. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar, of course. It's been a minute since we talked about Built Bar and their mud pies. If you're a chocolate lover, if you are all in on the sweet treat, the beautiful delicacy that is chocolate, the mud pie is your spot. It's rich whipped cream, chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate, and then topped with cookies and cream crumble. It is an incredible little snack for you. And oh, by the way, it's good for you. Really, all Built products are low calorie, high protein, and low sugar. The Mud Pie in particular is packed with 16 grams of protein, only 150 calories, and 8 grams of sugar. It's like your mom baked the most delicious creamy chocolate mud pie, wrapped it up just for you. Mud Pie ain't your thing? Don't worry. They got plenty of flavors available at Built, BUILT.com. They've got everything. The puffs, the bars, these mud pies. You're going to like something on there. Replace your desserts with Built Bar. Go to their promo code LOCKED15 at Built, BUILT.com. Again, the promo is LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your order with our friends at Built. Finally, the Brewers get ready to try to, you know, at least guarantee a split at worst. Remember, going into this series, these teams are an even 4-4 apiece in the season series. You will not see these guys again until after the trade deadline. So staring, you know, having the Cardinals stare at you up in the leaderboard would be very, very useful for the time being. It'll be Jack Flaherty getting the ball here today. Flaherty making his second start of the season while recovering from shoulder injury that he sustained during spring training. He'll be going up, as we mentioned earlier, with Chichi Gonzalez. We'll see what kind of length Jack Flaherty gets. It's been tough to watch. And look, I love watching greatness. It's been tough to watch Flaherty deal with the injuries he's dealt with the last couple of seasons. He only made 17 appearances last year, and at the end of it, he was coming out of the bullpen or just doing one set inning. He barely pitched in June and July. In fact, he didn't at all. He was on rehab for really for all of that. In his last start on Thursday against the Pirates, he went 3 innings, 3 hits, 4 runs, 2 were earned, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. He also hit a batter throwing 60 pitches. See if he gets up to 75 or so as he works his way back to health for the Cardinals moving forward. Then tomorrow it'll be Adam Wainwright against Eric Lauer. And then on Thursday, the day game finale, Dakota Hudson against Jason Alexander. Looking around the league from yesterday, as I record this, most of the games have gone final or are nearly final. The tailspin continues in the West for the Angels. They're trailing 6-2 in the bottom of the eighth as I record this. The Yankees got their 50th win of the season. They're the first in baseball to 50 wins. They nearly no-hit the Rays. It got dramatic late, but Gerrit Cole was, again, incredible. He gets a no decision, though. Yankees win 4-2 over the Rays down to the Trop. The Red Sox are rolling. They win over the Tigers 5-2. How about the debut for O'Neill Cruz with Pittsburgh? Tall shortstop prospect. He goes 2-for-5 in his big league debut with a double. Also had a couple of runs scored, runs driven in against the Cubs. That game was in Pittsburgh as they beat up on a rookie pitcher in Caleb Killian. Cubs, man, they're starting to free fall. They're 25-42. The Pirates are now 27-39. It's tough at the bottom of the NL Central this year. It brings us to an interesting point right now for the Brewers and for the Cardinals. The dominance that they have had on those two teams, or on those all three teams really in the rest of the division between the Reds, the Cubs, and the Pirates. This season, the Brewers have had their way specifically with the Reds and the Pirates. They're 13-2 against those two clubs. As for the Cardinals, they've been just as good, if not better, against the Pirates and the Reds. This season, they are 12-4 against Pirates and the Reds. So when you look at the rest of the league, you know, we talked about this in the season preview show. Vinny Rattino boldly claimed that these guys were going to win 100 games. I wasn't going to be so sure. He claimed it's because the bottom feeders of this league, of this division, but the rest of the league is so deep right now. And the way things are shaping up is that, I mean, look, in the American League, the Brewers are going to be facing the AL East in crunch time in September. You're going to see the Mets again as well in September. You're going to see the Yankees then. You got the Red Sox coming out of the All-Star break too. You got the Rays at the end of next week. It's not going to get easy. Right now, I mean, look at the wild card. The wild card races in both leagues look like they're dominated by one division. In the AL, it's dominated by the East, obviously. Toronto leads the way. Cleveland has a spot. Want to give a shout-out to the Guardians right now. Jose Ramirez is the only guy lighting a candle to Aaron Judge, who could be the AL MVP at this point. Boston's right there in the third and final wildcard spot, but Tampa Bay's just a half a game back of that last wildcard spot. And then here in the National League, San Diego's leading the wild card, but they are right in the thick of it with the Dodgers, just a half game back of the Dodgers right now, who continue to struggle. And then the second spot is currently Atlanta. They're a game clear of San Francisco. So you've got three NL West teams in the playoffs, and Atlanta being that last team. St. Louis is a half game back of San Francisco as things stand right now for that second wild card. And by the way, San Francisco lost yesterday to the Braves. Just want to take a quick peek around the league, as it's not quite scoreboard watching season, but it's getting close. I think you're allowed to scoreboard watch in July. Personally, I say not until the second half, but I think you're allowed in July. So we're a little over a week away from that. Tonight, Chichi Gonzalez against Jack Flaherty. 7 o'clock, Bally Sports Wisconsin. Hope you all tune in. Jeff Levering and Bill Schroeder on the call, so if you're a minute in the dugout. Craig and Tim Dillard on the pre- and post-game. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Brewers. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We will see you right back here, same time, same place tomorrow, your first listen of the morning. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.